want to remember Sister Renee in prayer. They're very concerned about her stability, health-wise, before they did the surgery, and platelets are about half of what they should be, and of course all of her other issues. So we're thankful that surgery went well, but she has, again, a long road recovery, so do pray for her and pray for Brother Mike. He's got a lot on his plate. Just pray for him. Again, Psalm 23, we've been looking at "My cup runneth over." To me, that's like the exclamation point in this psalm. It's almost you get to a point and there's no words to describe what you're feeling. And he says, "My cup runneth over." That ought to be true of us all the time. It isn't, of course, but it ought to be. It wasn't true of David all the time. There certainly ought to be times where we can say, "My cup runneth over." We looked at the Lord's blessings in general, just the general blessings of the Lord, the blessings of our physical bodies, all the things that God bestows upon us to give us the ability to enjoy life. Those are all blessings from God. And when we think of those things, we ought to be able to say, "My cup runneth over." Then, of course, there are the blessings of salvation, which, of course, far surpasses any physical, any material blessing upon this earth. We read in Titus 3, 5, words we've preached from several times, "He saved us." He saved us. Nothing more wonderful than that fact. Nothing more marvelous. Certainly nothing more miraculous than the Lord saving a soul. Nothing more exciting than the Lord saving a soul. We ought to look at it that way so much that we can say, "My cup runneth over." I believe we ought to try to think of the blessings of salvation every single day. It'll help you. It'll help your mental state. It'll deliver you from a lot of things if you just give some thought. "He saved me," to the salvation of our souls. It's not something we ought to ever be unmindful of. So we need to think about it every single day. And at first you might have to make yourself think about it, but after a while, you do it for a while, it just comes automatically. You just think about the blessings of salvation. So we want to mention a few of the blessings of salvation. And if you give real thought to any of these, you would have to say, "My cup runneth over." The saved individual, you and I that are saved, have eternal life right now as a present possession. John chapter 5, we'll look at several verses today, but John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That is, you have life before you believe. Believing is proof that you have everlasting life. Life is the new birth. "And shall not come into condemnation." That's one of the results of this life We'll never come into condemnation, though we deserve it. But is passed from death unto life. Now, most people take that to, they just apply it to all of salvation, but that, doctrinally, that refers to the new birth. You pass from death unto life. It's the Lord quickening us, giving us life. And then, of course, everything follows that. We have eternal life. In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to read verses 11 through verse 13. 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. And this life, eternal life, is in His Son. It's nowhere else. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Jesus Christ dwells within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That is, this kind of life. Eternal life. Spiritual life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know. Not only is it a present possession, we know we have it. Absolutely certain. We do not have to live in doubt concerning our salvation experience. We have passed from death unto life. You cannot do that. That cannot happen without you knowing about it. Passing from death unto life. And when you pass from death unto life, that's more than saying a prayer. It's more than believing a creed. It's a miracle. Pass from death unto life, and then there's an absolute certainty that it has happened. So the saved individual has eternal life as a present possession. They have passed from death unto life. They have been quickened by God. Ephesians 2, Colossians 2. We've been made fit for heaven. We've been fit for heaven. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, book of Colossians, chapter 1, we'll read verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, we didn't make ourselves this way, made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been made fit for heaven. When you think about the fact that we deserve hell, and still do, that's what we deserve. But He has made us fit for heaven. Not just anybody can go to heaven. They're made fit for heaven. We have forgiveness of sins. All the sins that we've ever committed, that we will ever commit, will not be put to our account. They have already been put to Christ's account. We have the forgiveness of sins. And when you begin to just dwell upon your sins, and again, just keep in mind that there's no such thing as one sin. Every sin has multiple sins in that one sin. Multiple sins. So you have one sin that has multiple sins. And how many sins do we commit a day? How many sins do we commit in our lifetime? It's innumerable. Cannot be measured. And yet we have the forgiveness of sins. We would have to, if once we realize that truth, we again say with David, my cup runneth over. We've been fully justified. What that means is, it's a legal term. It means that basically we've been pardoned. And we stand before God as righteous. We stand before God as if we had never sinned. And it's all due, of course, to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 11. In verse 9 and 10, he mentions several sins, sinners. He mentions fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. And that, by the way, is not simply referring to homosexuality. Certainly homosexuality is in that. But effeminate is not necessarily homosexuality. Men are not to be effeminate. And I'm getting sidetracked here. Abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. And if we look at all of those things, we were in some of those things. We might not have been in all of them, but we were certainly guilty of some. But that changes everything. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. And how is it that we're justified? In the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. So we've been fully justified, fully pardoned by God. We've been reconciled to God. Every saved sinner was once an enemy of God. We entered this world at enmity with God. We have been reconciled. Salvation, in salvation, we are reconciled to God. That is, we've been brought into agreement with God. And this is God's doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 and verse 9. We are confident. That's not the verse I want. I'm sorry, 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Notice, God reconciled us by Jesus Christ. There is no reconciliation outside of Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, we are to reconcile with one another. He hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. No matter how bitter of an enemy a person might be to you, no matter what they have done to you, it's nowhere near what you were to God. Doesn't even compare. And yet God reconciled us, and we are to have the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we've been reconciled. When you think about that, when you think about the enmity, and you think about reconciliation, again, my cup runneth over. Ephesians 2:13. We've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Same chapter tells us that we were once alienated. We were once far away. But we've been made near to God We didn't want anything to do with God, not the God of the Bible. And we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. We've been redeemed through Christ's blood. That is, we've been bought, we've been delivered. Ephesians 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1. Well, let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know, and we ought to know it, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Our whole unsaved life was vain. It's empty. It's empty. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's where redemption comes from. As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3, verse 13. The law says, the soul that sinneth shall die. That is, eternally. Eternal death. Eternal wrath. And yet we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We haven't been redeemed from obedience to the law, but we've been redeemed from the curse that disobedience carries. We've been delivered from this present world. It's time that many of God's people started acting like it. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And that delivering us from this present evil world talks about our practice in this world. We don't have to live according to the world. We've been delivered from it. It also, of course, has a wider meaning that one day we will be delivered from this present world. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, Colossians 1, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. Been delivered from the wrath to come. This world is going to fall under the judgment of God. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. When you think about God's wrath being poured down upon this world, we've been delivered from it. Not because of who we are, because of who Christ is. We've been made children of God. And if you give much thought to that, again, you could spend a long time thinking about what it means to be a child of the Lord. A child of the Lord. We must never forget whose sons and daughters we are. In John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them, those who have received him, gave he power to become. He gave them power to become. Now that's pretty plain. The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, that is, spiritually, not of blood. When it says which were born, it cannot be talking about physical birth because it says not of blood. Well, it's talking about spiritual birth. This spiritual birth does not come about from heredity. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, that is our own will. Our own will did not bring this birth nor the will of man, the will of anyone else, did not bring this birth, but of God. So you can read it, which were born of God. The other thing, just the rest of the verse just eliminates all other possibilities in the realm of human thought. But we were born of God, spiritually speaking. So that's how we became children of God. Notice in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Just to be called a child of God, let alone to be made a child of God. Oh, what love! Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a child of God. We are right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Sons and daughters are like parent. You can't escape it. There's genetics. And it's true spiritually as well. We are his sons, and when we appear, we shall be like him. That's talking about glorification. Of course. But again, when you think about that you are a child of God, our cup ought to run over. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. To Christ belongs everything. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance. We read of it in Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 14. That inheritance is in Christ. We read of it again in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. We have an inheritance reserved. Reserved in heaven for us. And it is a reservation that cannot be canceled. We have an inheritance. I would not get all caught up in earthly inheritances. You're going to leave it. It could destroy you. But this is an inheritance. There's no harm in it whatsoever. None. And it's nothing but beneficial. We have fellowship. We are called into the fellowship of God's Son. Oh, the blessing of fellowship with the Lord. A blessing that, sadly, many don't know a whole lot about. But all we that know something about fellowship with God, what a blessing that we are even allowed in His presence, that we can speak to Him. And even more importantly, He speaks to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom, by God, ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. And when we have fellowship with the Lord, if we're truly having fellowship with God, our cup runs over. And what is so amazing, so wonderful, we can be oblivious to God at times, and God comes to us. And it's like He says, let's talk. Let's fellowship together. My cup runneth over when we have fellowship with the Lord. The saved individual has been called unto eternal glory. We read that in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. We have a holy calling. That is, it's It's not just a common call. It's holy. It's set apart from all other callings. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We're eternally secure in God's love, Romans 8, 38 and 39. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him. Been chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. On and on and on, the blessings of salvation. Colossians 2, verse 10, we're complete in Christ. Complete in Him. Nothing else needs to be done for our salvation. We are complete in Him. We are partakers of Christ, Hebrews 3. Verse 14, we've been set free. John chapter 8, verse 32, Galatians 5, verse 1. Been set free from the dominion of sin. That is, sin is no longer our master. You and I that are saved do not have to obey sin. We've been set free from that master. Romans 6 makes that very plain. Romans 6, verse 7 and verses 18 and verse 22. We're sealed by God. 2 Corinthians 1, 22, Ephesians 1, 13. We're sealed. That is, we're secure. We're assured of delivery. We're kept by the power of God. I don't have to keep myself. I'm kept by the power of God. I don't know what would cause more misery, to just know you're lost or to think that you're saved, but you have to keep yourself saved. I don't see how, if someone believes that, no one here does, but if someone believes that, how can you go to bed at night not knowing? For sure. And again, I ask anyone who believes that, just how righteous do you have to be? Tell me how righteous you have to be. And they all say the same thing. I never thought of that. Well, I think you ought to give it some thought, because if you're working to keep your salvation, you certainly ought to have something you're working toward. Or I don't know. You have to be as righteous as Christ. And you missed that the day you were conceived. You cannot keep yourself saved. We're citizens of heaven. On and on it goes. But the blessings of salvation are so, so many. I mean, they're blessings we're not even aware of. The blessings of being with God's people and fellowshipping with God's people, and the blessing of worship, the blessing of singing hymns, and it just goes on and on. The blessing of reading Scripture and being able to understand the Word of God. The blessings just keep coming. And so we say, when we think of the blessings of God and salvation, my cup runneth over. And it ought to every single day. We need to give some thought to these things. If you feel yourself getting depressed, start thinking about salvation. Start thinking about the Lord. Get your mind out of that loop and get in a different loop. And I guarantee you it won't hurt you any. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for another day. We do thank You, Lord, that our cup does run over, flows over. Lord, we thank You for blessing us in such a way that we can say that today. We do pray that You would speak to the hearts of those that are here and lost. Lord, cause them to see their need of Thee. Convict them, Lord, of their sin. Save their soul. Give them life. We do pray that You'd help us to worship You in a way that would be pleasing in Your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.